Well, thank you, and good afternoon. So a little bit of background. My research, Creeping Bentgrass, it's a little bit more aimed towards the golf course management side of things, and probably even more specifically, turf growing on sand-based root zones. We grow on sand-based root zones so we can kind of really control what's going on. And for playability reasons, irrigation tends to be frequent and light. And because of that, we can accumulate salts into the root zone. There's also been an increased use of reclaimed water as an irrigation source for some golf courses, and that tends to have a higher salt content. So if you don't get a good flushing rain to get the salts out, you can have some salt stress. If the climate scientists are correct with their predictions, we can expect more heat waves and periods of drought. So it is possible for bentgrass to be subjected to both heat and salt stress simultaneously. We know that plants do in fact respond to stresses. They can alter the metabolism, there may be changes in membrane fluidity, and there can also be changes in phytohormone levels. Now, for some stresses, we have a pretty good idea of what the plant response is, but when there are multiple stresses, that's a little bit less clear. So the objectives of my research are to, one, establish a baseline of damage caused by heat and salt stress. After that, the second objective is to determine the effect or how effective plant growth regulators are at reducing that damage. In order to do this research, for the first objective, I constructed a hydroponic system. And the reasoning behind that was that way I would have even salt distribution throughout, I guess we'll call it the root zone. So it's pictured here. I just took plastic storage boxes, painted them black, and to support the plants, I used what is essentially an air conditioning filter. So I take some seed, I grow it up in the greenhouse for 12 days, and then at 12 days post-germination, I try and pick plants that have had similar growth and transplant them into the hydroponic systems, which are located in two growth chambers. Through a bit of trial and error, I found that the transplanting process is a bit traumatic for the seedlings, so I allow them to acclimate to the hydroponic systems for 3 days. So each box is filled up with a quarter strength Hoagland solution, and for the 3 days of acclimation, there's a 25-20 degree Celsius day-night temperatures with 12 hours of light during the day. At 15 days post-germination, I initiate the stress treatments. So there's a cool temperature regime, again the 25-20 degree Celsius day-night temperatures, without sodium chloride added to the solution and with 50 millimolar sodium chloride added. For the higher temperature regime, I selected a 35-30 degree day-night temperature, again with and without the salt. Every third day, I change these solutions out until I harvest, which is done at 30 days post-germination, so there's about 2 weeks of stress. After the plants are harvested, I do a tiller count and I measure both shoot and root fresh weights. I understand that fresh weights are not exactly ideal, but I kind of need the shoots and roots for additional measurements. For roots, I measure percentage of electrolyte leakage as kind of an indicator of membrane stability. To do that, I rinse the roots 3 times with deionized ultrafiltered water, and then they are soaked in 10 milliliters of deionized ultrafiltered water for about an hour before I put them on the shaker for 20 hours. At that point, I take an initial electrical conductivity measurement. I then autoclave them 20 minutes at 121 degrees cycle, and after they've cooled back down to room temperature, I can take a final electrical conductivity measurement. For chlorophyll content, the extractant I'm using is dimethylformamide. After soaking in that for a couple days, I can run process the samples through the spectrometer, get an absorbance, and do my calculations for chlorophyll content. For the statistical analysis, I used SAS for the general linear model, and I ran it as a 2x2 factorial. So after 3 runs or replications of the stress treatments, several significant interactions were detected. For the shoot weights, there was a significant interaction between temperature and salt. Higher temperatures and the addition of salt reduced shoot weights. The same can be said for root weights. There was a significant interaction, again, the heat and salt reducing root mass. On the left are pictured, the first 3 plants there are plants that did not receive heat or salt treatment, and on the right are plants that did receive both heat and salt treatments. In my opinion, the picture really does not do justice to the visual differences I can see when I'm looking at them in the hydroponic system. Not pictured are just the salt treated or just the heat treated, but the differences are a little bit more subtle. For electrolyte leakage percentage, again, there was a significant interaction between temperature and salt. A higher temperature and the addition of salt resulted in more electrolyte leakage. For the tiller counts, there was not a significant interaction. However, the higher temperature significantly reduced tiller count as compared to the lower temperature, and the addition of salt. The addition of salt resulted in significantly decreased number of tillers as compared to without salt. And that was the same situation for total chlorophyll content, where there was no significant interaction, but both the heat and salt treatments were significantly different respectively. So unfortunately, that's all the data I have to present today. There's a bit of trial and error with getting the plants to survive into the hydroponic system. And when I initially was working on objective one, I used only a 10-day stress period. And after some discussion, it was decided that several more days might help kind of flesh out the differences between stressed and unstressed plants. So moving forward, I'd like to get at least one more replication for objective one so that it can be fairly confident that the stress treatments are doing what they're supposed to be doing. At that point, I will move on to the second objective, which is to investigate the effects of the growth regulators. That will be carried out in the same manner as objective one, with one exception being that I will be applying plant growth regulators one day before I initiate the stress treatments. One of the plant growth regulators or products I'm interested in is Musketeer, which has three active ingredients, pacobutrazol, flurpyrimidol, and trinexapac ethyl. Pacobutrazol and flurpyrimidol obviously are earlier in the pathway and inhibit gibberellin synthesis, whereas trinexapac ethyl just inhibits the conversion of GA20 to the bioactive form of GA1. There is a little bit of evidence I found in the literature that gibberellins may not be great for heat tolerance, but I'm more interested in that these products, in particular trinexapac ethyl, can increase cytokinin contents, as cytokinins appear to be really good for heat tolerance. They have antioxidant abilities and seem to help preserve chlorophyll. Another gibberellin synthesis inhibitor product is anew. I'm interested in that. Its active ingredient is prohexidium calcium. It's kind of going back and forth of whether to use trinexapac ethyl or prohexidium calcium, but trinexapac ethyl, the efficacy is reduced at higher temperatures, and they're marketing prohexidium calcium as having a little bit better longevity. Third product I'm interested in is 2,4-dichlorophenoxyacetic acid, more commonly just called 2,4-D. 2,4-D mimics indole acetic acid, a naturally occurring auxin. From the literature review I've done, auxin signaling appears to be important for a heat stress response. And typically, auxins in salt stress, indole acetic acid levels tend to be decreased in the roots. A study was done where a maize salt tolerant and salt susceptible cultivar were compared, and the salt tolerant cultivar had elevated levels of indole acetic acid in the roots as compared to the salt susceptible cultivar. So there is some reason to believe that 2,4-D may be beneficial. The last two treatments are both aminoethoxyvinylglycine at two different rates, or ABG. ABG is an ethylene synthesis inhibitor. It doesn't completely eliminate ethylene synthesis. We know that ethylene is important for plant stress response, but excess ethylene can be damaging, oxidative damage, and leaves senescence. So the goal with this treatment is to just kind of prevent excessive ethylene from accumulating during stress. So with that, I'll do my best to answer any questions you may have.
Time for questions. Can you tell me why you would apply a mixture with Musketeer rather than breaking out them into their component products?
Yes, that's a great question. It's a new product, so I'm personally curious about it. Some work has been done not with heat and salt stress combined, as far as I can tell, with the other products. And if we were to get some really good results with that, then that would be a further line of inquiry where we could break it out.
Okay, we thank our speaker.